If you've had one of those careers that switches from government to industry or vice versa, you've probably lived through more than one lapse in funding. A case in point is Richard Spires, the former chief information officer at Homeland Security and now the CEO of Learning Tree International. He joins me now with what it looks like with that unique federal market perspective. And Richard, this one is really starting to pinch. This is one of the longer ones, I guess. And first of all, let's talk about Learning Tree itself. What is it you're experiencing as a services provider?
Yeah, Tom. Within Learning Tree, we are starting to get affected. And of course, Learning Tree is more diversified, so only about 25% of our business is federal government. But that being said, we do serve quite a few government agencies, and of course, those that have been affected by the shutdown. It is, this week's pretty not bad. First week back off of after the new year, but next week, I think we're going to start to feel an impact. In fact, a number of our courses that we run, what we call on-site at government agencies, have been, postponed. I mean, we've been told that they will run once they have funding again, but for now, we're having to work with agencies, and we will reschedule those courses once they get their funding back.
And for those courses, you don't use employee staff. You use freelancers?
Typically, yeah. We like to use instructors that have real-world experience. So we get instructors that are consulting in what they instruct in. And that's been our model for a long time, and it works well for us.
So in that case, you don't have a big payroll that you might have to lay off people that would be assigned to an agency like, say, an IT contractor?
Right. In fact, and talking to some of my colleagues in some of the more service-oriented industries like you're referring to, professional services firms or systems integrators, I've heard of a couple that are beginning to furlough people. As you say, if they're working, let's say, 100% for the State Department, some companies have made the decision they just need to furlough those people just because of their financials. So that is definitely beginning to happen across the industry.
And of course, you're one of the mucky mucks of the Industry Advisory Council, which I know doesn't offer advice as a council, but you have a lot of colleagues from companies both very large and small. And so do you see a difference in the distribution of effects depending on company size at this point?
I don't know if I could make a comment about company size. I think it varies widely as to what's going on. I mean, I'll give you one example. One of our clients, who is a large systems integrator, they're actually looking to, in this situation, rather than furlough people, they're going to actually send some of their individuals to some of our public courses in the next couple of weeks. Why don't you get some value for them if you're going to keep them on the payroll, have them learn something new. And so for us, that's actually a good thing, correct? So I think it varies widely as to how companies are reacting, and clearly some companies are affected a lot more by this than others. If you're just a DOD contractor, you're probably not affected at all at this point.
And I want to switch gears for a minute and talk about your federal career, because nobody can have a federal career of any length and not have a shutdown, at least maybe a few days or a couple of hours in some cases.
Yeah.
Because you were at Homeland Security and you also had operational responsibility at IRS before that. And so I don't think you may not have lived through one of the really long ones like 96 or 78. But
no.
What kind of planning do you suspect has to happen in agencies?
Yeah, I mean, I lived through a number of these. And I will say on the inside, at least when I was at like DHS, I mean, we took it very seriously. When there was even a whiff that there might be a shutdown, we kind of got the senior team really working this and identified, what were the critical operations, what do we need to make sure of from an employee base that we continue to work, how are we going to handle that from the contractor side, what contractors would we absolutely need to still have on board, if you will, working to support our critical operations. So I think this is, I won't say it's routine, and it's too bad that it happens as often as it does. But I would say I was pretty impressed at the discipline that we used when I was on the inside of government in working to help prepare for these kinds of shutdown scenarios.
We're speaking with Richard Spires. He's the CEO of Learning Tree International and former Chief Information Officer at Homeland Security. And how do you suppose right now they are imagining the personnel situation of contractors. And what I mean is, if certain people are bid and are used and are known to the agency to do work on yeah. behalf of the contractors, if those people for some reason have to go away because their company lays them off or they can't pay them anymore, and the contract starts up again when funding starts up, how do you feel agencies might react when...
Well, I mean, that's a good point, Tom, but I'm afraid, you know, when in our planning, you know, it's just difficult, right? I mean, if you're non-essential and there's not a... You can't make a justification just based on, well, I want Joe Smith to come back. It's difficult. And I think that's one of the costs that aren't calculated in this, right? The disruption to contracts, the disruption to projects in general. I mean, you know, so you shut something down because it's non-essential, and then the ramp-up time when you start back, it can be significant. And these things are not factored in. I think that's one of the real downsides of this, is that it really does hurt governments in many ways, that well beyond the, quote, initial financial impact.
Yeah, I was going to follow up on that one too, because you mentioned that there's a lot of planning and seriousness of purpose that goes in to anticipated lapses in funding. But the government is like a Ferris wheel. It takes some planning and some effort to slow it down to a stop, but it doesn't speed up right away either.
That's right. In fact, I found that we would lose a lot on the back end of these things, right? That, you know, it wouldn't be that everybody just showed up the next day when all of a sudden funding was reinstated and we didn't lose a beat. So I think it's one of those things that I wish our politics were, and I don't want to get into too much politics, but were such that these things were better understood by those on the Hill and in the administration, because I think there's a lot of costs that you just don't see. In lost productivity that goes well beyond the actual days that people aren't working.
And as a CEO, you are responsible to a board somewhere. And how do you explain to them, hey, well, 25% of our business, or a portion of 25%, the bottom just fell out?
Well, and I'll tell you, it was on the earlier today, it was on a call with my chairman. Explaining exactly what the impacts are. I mean, we've run out the numbers for the next 2 months as to what the initial impact could be to us from those agencies that are doing business with us and what it could mean. Now, there's a secondary effect for us as well, which is much harder to understand, which is if companies start furloughing or laying off employees and they were going to come to training with us, and now that doesn't happen. That's a secondary impact for us. So that's very, very hard for us to measure or project, at least. So certainly it's something we're spending a lot of time and effort trying to work with our clients. If they can't, you know, if they can't avail themselves of their services in the next few weeks, as I said, can we reschedule things out? Our business is such that's possible to do. So a lot of the times we won't lose the business, so to speak, but it'll just be deferred. It'll happen later in the quarter or in a number of months from now.
Richard Spires, the CEO of Learning Tree International, as always, great speaking with you.
Tom, always great to speak with you as well. Take care.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to the Federal Drive at Apple Podcasts or Podcast One.